Fox body Mustangs, the real boxy looking Mustangs, 5.0s, love them. It's my favorite style. She does not. So there will be a trailer with like just a headlight, a tail light, and a door from a Fox body, and I'll be like, "That's a nice Mustang." And she's like, "What are you talking? Look at all. How much is that? How much would that cost to fix?" I'm like, "I don't care. I see the finished product." And so if you go to the next slide, what you'll see, we have three things to remember. We were created for a purpose. That Mustang on that trailer was created for a purpose, okay? God does not see you in your circumstances. He sees you in your potential. Remember that. So no matter how unwanted you feel, no matter how stuck you feel in life, God sees the potential. God sees the future, okay? I want to tell a little story about mining in South Africa. I found this so random. But as you travel around the city of Johannesburg, South Africa, you can see many large hills of sludge left by mining companies when they are mining for gold. Not too long ago, these companies discovered gold deposits left in the sludge. As a result, they reclaimed the small amounts of gold by taking the once useless dirt through a process using water, cyanide, with the gold attaching itself to the cyanide. The companies have also captured zinc, platinum, and other precious metals in the sludge. It's hard to believe that it takes a ton of sludge to produce a pinpoint of gold. We know the benefits must be worth the efforts, or the mining companies would not continue. So in the middle of our sludge, we know there's got to be something important, because God tells us that he'll never give up on us. John 14:5, Thomas, the disciple, may have been confused when Jesus told the disciples, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." However, we have no excuse for not knowing that Jesus is the way. God has given his word to direct us to him. "Come to me, all who labor, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That's a very important aspect. Learn from me. "For I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You can find that in Matthew 11. The prodigal son is, it's what I think about now that I'm a father. I think about the prodigal son. Now, I think I was talking to Paul this past week at work about the prodigal son. Like, especially since Paul is now a dad too, like we have these discussions about God's love for us, and it's like, man, can you imagine wanting to harm Lincoln because he did something wrong? No. Why do we think God would do that to us? His love is greater than our love. God doesn't tell us not to do something because he's then going to punish us for doing it. God doesn't want us to do something because he knows the consequences of what we're going to do. That's called grace. And so this past week we talked about, Paul and I kind of talked a little bit about the prodigal son and how the father didn't argue with him. The father gave him exactly what he asked for, knowing what the consequences would be. The son asked for all of his wealth. He said, "Just give me what's mine. I'm out of here." Now remember what I said earlier. The father never moved. And I love it. Paul is so good at just disclosing this kind of stuff. But he said, imagine, who was the first one to run to him when the prodigal son came back? The father. He didn't say, "Where have you been? What's going on? I told you so." He just loved him. That's it. He loved him. That's where we are in life. As we run away from God, you can think about Jonah or Moses or David. It did not matter. We were created for a purpose. Jeremiah 1:4-5. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you, before you were even thought of, I knew you. I set you apart." And he says, "I appointed you a prophet to the nations." But think about that. Before you were born, I set you apart. Meaning there's a purpose in our life. There is a special purpose in each of our lives. Okay? The second thing to remember is we know who created us. The Almighty God created us. What's very important is when you think about God's creation, how did he create light? God said, let there be light. God spoke into existence the animals. What did he do to man? I created you by my hands. I molded you. That's important. God, words are important, but God physically took us and created us for a purpose. The third thing we need to remember is for what purpose? Now, I will say, when you think about your purpose in life, most likely the first thing that's going to pop into your mind is going to be your career. How am I going to make money? That's not why God created you. God did not create you to make money. Okay? Look at this. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You notice here's what I love about this. It doesn't follow it and say, to do good works so we can get to heaven. To do good works so we can have salvation. It doesn't say that. It says we were created to do works. Why? Because we are created in his image. God can only do good. So we need to remember our purpose. Why were we born? To love other people. That's it. I fully believe when we feel unwanted, if we really, really take a good hard look at where we are at, we have probably not done anything for another person for quite a while. So when Elizabeth and I are in a rut, we're just feeling a little bit down, one of the things we like to do is we've done it where we've taken like a $100 bill, put it in an envelope, and late at night just set it on somebody's porch. I know it's, or you can do a gift card to a restaurant, or what, it doesn't matter. It's just, we wanted to do a good deed, and it just made us feel better. We didn't really gain anything other than just feeling good about ourselves. So when we feel unwanted, I think one of the best things to do is fill the void in somebody else's life. Realize you are wanted by, you may feel unwanted because somebody else isn't doing something for you. Go do something for somebody else. It's really kind of simple. If you look at Ephesians 2 in our lives, when we feel unwanted, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our purpose still stands regardless of our past and our present. Regardless of the sin that you may have done, regardless of the place that you are now at in life, regardless of the things you've done, God's purpose for you has never changed. Moses, no matter what sin, Moses murdered someone. Think about that. Moses murdered an Egyptian because he didn't like the way he was treating Moses' fellow people. Did that change God's plan for him? No. He was still to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Jonah literally disobeyed God right to his face. I'm not going. Nineveh, no. They don't deserve it. But God knew, this is the person I want to send to Nineveh. Regardless of his sin, he waited until Jonah really finally realized, okay, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do to get away from this. God's purpose for Jonah never changed, regardless of his sin, regardless of his past. And then this is another thing Paul and I discussed this past week. David, think about how we always talk about the Psalms that David wrote, how great of a king he was. The man literally saw a woman bathing, had an affair, and then sent her husband to the front of the lines in a war, knowing he would die so then he could have the woman. But yet God's purpose for his life never changed. Because God sees our potential, God does not see our sin. God does not see our failures or our mistakes. He sees us through our potential. I want to close with a little story, if I can find it. As you can see, I don't do computer stuff very well. Where am I at? Remember when I said deal with it? This is what I meant. I just wanted to share a little bit, if I can find it, about the song that Carrie and the team just led. I know I've got it. By the time I find it, we could probably all sing the song again. Okay. I think I found it. Yo, hey, look, guys. I found it. All right. The song that we just sang, Reckless Love. Has anybody ever read about why that song was written? Okay, I just want to read a little bit here. Corey Asbury is the one who wrote the song and the one who sings it. But this magazine, Relevant, asked him, "Your song, Reckless Love, has been everywhere lately. Could you tell me a little bit about the background of the song? Where did the song come from?" Asbury said, "I feel like this song is a culmination of the latter half of my life. So much goes into it, and a lot of it has to do with my family, my own upbringing with my own dad. I think Reckless Love is a song about the Father's love. And I think so many of us, especially in this generation, are so unfamiliar with the Father's love because we have a skewed idea of what it is based off of what our own dads are like. I know so many people, myself included, who grew up with a dad who wasn't perfect, to put it lightly. And because my dad wasn't perfect, I viewed God through the lens of my own dad. I felt many times that God was angry or upset or disappointed in me. I felt like I always was letting him down. Toward the latter part of my life, maybe the last 5 or 6 years, it's kind of been a spin. It feels like I've began to ask specific questions of the Father, like, what are you actually like? I've grown up with a picture that's probably pretty off. So Lord, if you could show me what you're actually like. The Bible tells me that you're kind and that you're tender, you're good. Some of the things I've seen in the world in my own experience is they disagree with that idea. So I need you to reconcile in my heart the idea of you. I think a big part of that reconciliation is when our son was born about 8 years ago. His name is Gabriel. He's our oldest. When I held him for the first time, everything changed. And this is something Paul and I have discussed. You look into their eyes for the first time and you feel this ability and this capacity to love you've never experienced before. It's a different feeling. I remember thinking about Gabriel. He's an infant. He can do anything. I remember thinking, man, there's nothing this little boy could ever do to make me love him less. And it was through that experience I began to see the Father correctly. The way he looks at me, I don't have to earn his love. I don't have to do something to deserve his affection and his heart. He simply adores me because I'm his son and I am made in his image. That changed everything for me. Relevant said, so since Gabriel is 8 years old now, would you say that this song is technically 8 years in the making? And he said, yeah, the concept is definitely 8 years in the making. The song with structure and melody is probably 3 years in the making, but the concept of the song, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God has been in my heart because it's what the Lord's been speaking to me and showing me for the past 8 years. I've been writing it in my journals and social media posts. It's been everywhere because the theme that the Father has in my life has been this for the past 3 years. The concept also kind of puts into context the whole idea of recklessness. And he goes on to say, I believe it's more of a protective nature. If I thought of a word to describe the way he protects and watches over us, it's furious and it's intense. He would do anything to stop the enemy or whatever force is coming against us. So that's definitely one aspect of the word, in my opinion. The more relevant application for me is my own life. And in the latter part of my life, I wasn't really a great human. I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old, even though I grew up in the church. I was not living a godly lifestyle. In my heart, in a lot of ways, I was going against God. And to me, the scripture that sums it up the best says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's in that place that we're going, I'm completely against you, Lord. Everything I've done in this life up to this point is going against you. But yet your love fought for me. So that's what I want to close with this morning. There's nothing in this life that we have ever done, we could ever do, that we should feel unwanted by God. No matter what our purpose is in life, which we know our purpose, to do good works, to love other people, to do good to others, that's our purpose. That never changes, regardless of our circumstances. I believe I have one more slide. What is God calling us, calling to us? There's a purpose for your life, to love someone else. So if you're feeling unwanted, I challenge you today, do something for somebody else. Do something kind for somebody else. God is saying to us, I don't care where you've been, what you have been, done or seen. I'm going to stop at nothing to love you. And the final thing I want to say is we, not me. It's not about us. It's about God in us. God and us, God in us. What can we do for others? And I think that we are a great church at that, honestly. Elizabeth and I started coming here in May of last year, and it is just, it's amazing. When you walk through these doors and you can just immediately feel that feeling of someone like, what can I do for this couple? What can I do for this person? And when someone does that for you, what's it make you want to do? You want to do that for somebody else. And if you sit on that feeling, you don't act on it, you will begin to feel unwanted. So the best way to not feel unwanted is to do something for somebody else. So like I said, my challenge today is for when we leave here today, let's do something kind for somebody else. It may not even make sense to them. It may not even make sense to you. Just do something good for somebody else. It may be walk in a restaurant. I just want to let you know I really like your jacket. I want to let you know I really like that hat. Or it may be, you know, I want to pay for that guy's meal. Or pay for the meal of the person that's behind you in the drive-thru. It doesn't matter what it is. Do something kind for somebody else. And I promise you, you will not feel unwanted. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for the opportunity to share. I want to thank you for Pastor Andy having faith in me, maybe for only one Sunday. But I just want to thank you so much for what he is. He and his family have meant to our family, Lord Jesus, what this church has meant to us. We went from feeling stuck in life, Lord Jesus, not knowing where we needed to be, not knowing where our spiritual home really was here on earth, Lord Jesus. But your purpose for our life never changed. You knew where we needed to be. You knew the things we needed to do. You knew the consequences of our wrong decisions, Lord Jesus, but you knew exactly where we would land if we made the right ones. And Lord, with just joy in my heart, I want to thank you today for just allowing me to share my heart, allowing me to share what you've laid on my heart, Lord Jesus. You are the perfect God. You love us regardless of our sin, regardless of our past or our present, Lord Jesus. So today, I just ask that you comfort those that are feeling unwanted today, dear Heavenly Father. Lay on their heart just something they can do for somebody else. Something they can do for somebody else, dear Heavenly Father, that will make them feel wanted because they did something. They stepped out in faith, Lord Jesus, knowing that you were going to lay a comfort and a spiritual comfort on their heart because they did something for someone else, Lord Jesus. Allow us to be a new hope in somebody's life today, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.